Then we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 4, The Incarnation of Godhead. Text number 3. Uttaya yada panchavi atma srishtai Puram virajam virachayatasmin Samsena vishta purusa vidhanam Avapanarayana adideva Bhutai by the material elements. Yada, when? Panchavi, five. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Atma Srishtai, created by himself. Puram, the body. Virajam, of the universe. In his subtle form. Virachaya, having constructed. Tasmin, within that. In the maintain, in the manifestation of his own plenary expansion.
In the manifestation of his own plenary expansion.
Vishta, entering. Purusha Abhidanam,
the name Purusha.
Avata, assume. Narayana, Lord Narayana. Adideva, the original personality of Godhead. Translation. When the primeval Lord Narayana created this universal body out of the five elements produced from himself and then entered within the universal body by his own plenary portion, he thus became known as the Purusha. Purport. The word Bhutai Panchavi in this verse refer to the five gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, which form the basic building blocks of the material world. When the conditioned living entity enters within these five elements, consciousness becomes manifest, along with the functions of the mind and intelligence. Unfortunately, the consciousness manifest under the most material nature is governed by ahankara, or false ego, in which the living entity wrongly considers himself the enjoyer of the material elements. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottam, enjoys his pure transcendental existence in the future sky, the material elements are also meant for his enjoyment through the process of yajna or sacrifice. This material world is called Devidam, or the abode of the illusory energy of the Lord, Maya Devi. The Brahma Samhita explains that the Supreme Person is not at all attracted to his inferior energy, Maya. But when the material creation is used in the devotional service of the Lord becomes attracted by the devotion and sacrifice of the living entities. And thus, indirectly, he is also the enjoyer of the material world. We should not think that the person of the Lord Orion, as the super soul and creator of this universe, are on the lower spiritual level than Narayan, eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. Were Lord Narayan in any way to diminish his transcendental bliss and knowledge in his activities of material creation, he would have to be considered the conditioned soul, affected by contact with the illusory potency. But since Lord Narayan is eternally aloof from the influence of Maya, his activities as the super soul of this universe are exactly on the same transcendental level as his activities in the spiritual world. All the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead of Panapasa are his unlimited spiritual pastimes. Uttaya da panchavi atma srishtai puram virajam virachaya tasmi samsena vista purusha vidhanam avapa narayana adideva. Translation again. When the primeval Lord Narayana created his universal body out of the five elements produced from himself and then entered within that universal body by his own plenary portion, he thus became known as the Purusha. Om Agyana Timnandasya Timnanjana Salakaya Shakshamunikam Yena Tasmai Shri Garavayama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamde Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nivese Sasanya Vadi Vasachayane Shatayane. So in the Bhagavad Gita, you say that this material world is consists of eight elements: Bhumi Apo Nalavayo, Kamani Buddhiyacha, Ahankara Ityami, Vina Prakriti Masada. It consists of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. But Krishna went on to say, Aparayam Ipaskanyam, Prakriti Vidime Param. Jivabhut Mahabhava Yaitam Dhyate Jagat. That beyond these material elements, there is a superior element, the living entity, which is made of the superior nature. And because of the presence of this Jiva, that the universe comes to life. So the material world, after Krishna also said that both material and spiritual world comes from him. Eta jonini bhutani swani nityu padaya aham krishna sajagata prabhava pralayasata. So I am the source of both the spiritual and material world, and from me comes the creation and dissolution, both the creator and the dissoluter. So both spiritual and material come from Krishna. Actually, originally there's only one energy, the spiritual energy. Prabhupada gave the example, just like electricity. Electricity is just one energy. But by the tweaking of the electrician, the energy can be transformed to create heat or to create cold. You can use the same energy, electricity, electrical energy, to cook, and you can use the electrical energy for your fridge to keep things cold. See, when you get a bill from the electrical company, you don't get two separate bills: cold energy and hot energy. It's the same electrical energy, but it's transformed to cold, hot according to usage. So similarly, there's only one energy, but manifest in different ways: spiritual energy and material energy, to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So Lord Narayana, he created the material world with the five gross elements, and then infused the living entities into this material world, and thus bringing it back to life. Actually, the material elements have no life, has no form. It is because of the presence of the spirit that gives it form. It's just like clothing. The clothing is just a part of clothing. But because when you put it on the body of someone, then it takes shape. So it's also because of the presence of the soul that these different material elements take on different shapes. Now, unfortunately, although the spirit soul is by nature spiritual, because of its manifested consciousness under the influence of the most of material nature, and thus governed by a hunter, false ego, he starts to consider himself the enjoyer of these material elements. So the living entity thinking of himself as the enjoyer instead of the servant, which is actually his constitutional position. This is the influence of the ahankara. Pratite kriyamanani gunai kamani sausa ahankara vimudana katahang vimudana. So such person is a vimudana, foolish. The limited foolishly thinks that he is the enjoyer, that he is a doer of all these material activities, which are actually carried out by nature. But he thinks that he's a doer. It's also interesting, Bhagavad Gita, they explain the five causes of action. So especially now being American for the book distributors, it will be very interesting or enlightening to know there are five causes of action. You have the doer, perform on the activities, the time, place, circumstances, kala, pratyadesha, and that is the super soul. So all these five are causes of action. But without the presence of the super soul, or without the super soul giving its permission, even though you have the other four ingredients, you may not get the desired result. But by the presence of the super soul and the in agreement, therefore, the knower of the truth, although you understand that you require all these five causes of action, the doer, the time, place, circumstances, all these are favorable, that he has to align himself with the wishes of the super soul. Then things become manifested very easily. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it stated that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most difficult activities become very, very simple and very easy. And without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the simplest tasks become most difficult. And this is this kind of experience is very, very prominently when you are in book distribution. Some days when our conscience is very much aligned with the super soul, everything just flows so smoothly. People just come to you, give me a book. Basically, just, I mean, without saying it, just come. Just sell me a book. Give it to me. But when we are not aligned, people will come and say, get out of my face. isn't it? So this is, so we understand that by such engaging in such activities, you gain to understand that actually we are not the real doer. We are just the instrument. Personally, I've experienced days when just both books just flow out without much endeavor, just like you don't even know it. Before you know it, all the other books are gone. And then other days, no matter how much you try, you're just not going out. And then you start thinking, then your consciousness sinks deeper and deeper, and thinking, maybe my technique is wrong. Maybe I should try this technique or try that technique. I should say this or use this trick or that trick. And then you sink more and more into ahankara. I'm the doer, I'm the doer, I have to do it this way, I have to do it that way. So that's what happens when one becomes influenced by ahankara. You start thinking, I'm the doer, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. Rather than to see everything in relationship to Krishna. What does it mean, seeing everything in relationship to Krishna? Seeing how actually Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Bhuktaram yakatabasam sāvaloka maheshwaram suridam sāvadehinam yagvamam.
Suridam sāvadehinam.
Yeah, what's the last line?
Yagvamam
sāvadehinam. That is the formula for real peace. People talking about peace, but this is the formula for real peace. When we acknowledge that Krishna is the supreme controller of all planets, the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices, yajnanam. All sacrifices are made. Vasudeva para yajna. All sacrifices are made for his satisfaction. He is a Maheshwara. He is a Mahesh of all the three worlds, the controller of all the three worlds. And he is the real friend and beneficiary of all entities. All embodied beings, deinam. All embodied beings, not just human beings. So when one understands and acknowledges this fact, then he achieves peace. Otherwise, what is a thief? When we don't acknowledge that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme proprietor of everything, then we are acting as thief, stealing from the proprietor. Well, like Prabhupada says, it doesn't matter. Small thief, big thief, still thief. When you get a criminal record, It's still a criminal record. It is a stain. It is a stain. So some people are small thieves, some people are big thieves. One time, I think Prabhupada gave the example, the story. I think was he was talking about Alexander the Great. He came to this place, and there was this thief that was captured, and they were going to punish this thief by cutting off his hand or something. But the thief says, "Look, why are you punishing me? If punished, then you should also be punished. I'm just a small thief, whereas you are a big thief. You are conquering and plundering things that don't belong to you and claiming it your own. So you are a bigger thief. I'm just a small thief." Yeah. So basically everyone in this material world, they're thieves. And because they're thieves, there's no peace. A thief cannot have peace because they're always thinking, "When I'm going to get caught. When I'm going to get caught." And he has to cover up his tracks and so many things, in so many ways to avoid getting caught. But somehow deep inside the consciousness, there's this unrest there. Maybe they're not completely aware of it, but there's this unrest. I'm a thief. I'm stealing. But that is very, that consciousness, that awareness is very problem for devotees. But if you're not acting in Krishna consciousness, then you think, I'm acting as a thief. I'm trying to act as the enjoyer, trying to usurp Krishna's position as enjoyer. That's why Krishna said, recommend Bhagavad Gita, Yagyata Kamala Yatra, Lokayam Kamabandana, Tatatam Kamakanteyam Mukta Sangha Samacha. One has to perform sacrifice. Sacrifice for the satisfaction of Krishna. By such sacrifice, by pleasing Krishna with such sacrifice, then one can become free from the bondage of this material world, become free from the bondage of ahankara, and thus achieve real peace, real liberation. So yajna has to be performed. One has to perform sacrifice. This life is actually meant for sacrifice. And although this material world, Krishna created this material world and become detached from it, he is the enjoyer of everything. So he's explained here very nicely in this purport how Krishna is actually enjoying this material world through his sacrifice and through the love, devotional service of the devotees. Sometimes people, they do not understand that how, when you distribute prasadam, how it is actually transcendental. It is yajna. It is meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. It's very difficult for them to understand. They see, this is just food. It's just food that you stuff into your face. There's a hole in the face, you stuff it in, and you chew on it. You know, and then you feel satisfied. That's what people think. The thing is just like, you know, sometimes they have this furnace and they shower the coal in to feed it, and then you just use a spoon, smaller spoon, they use a big spoon to shower the coal. Here you use a small spoon and, you know. And, but for the devotee it's different. Just listening to this tape by, what's his name? The servant of Prabhupada. He was telling how in all these few years he was serving Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was taking prasadam. He never had anyone with him. He always takes prasadam alone. And he's always very quiet when he's taking prasadam. He will not talk to prasadam, just relishing. He says sometimes when there's a meeting with other managers or senior devotees are there, when the servant brings in the prasadam, Prabhupada just takes some prasadam from his plate, and he distributes to the audience. Now, alright, now you can go. And they all go. And then they shut it. Okay, understood the transcendental nature of prasadam. And similarly, any other activities or elements that we use, after all, we are dealing with the material world, we are dealing with the material elements. But what makes it different? the activities of devotees and the non-devotees. It's that the devotee is dog-killing, using all these animals for the service of Krishna, as it's supposed to be. After all, Krishna created it. So the devotees are using these ingredients made out of earth, water, fire, and ether, and using the mind intelligence that has been given to them, using all these different animals as an offering to Krishna. And Krishna accepts them. Krishna enjoys it. It's just like often the example given when a child takes an apple and offers it to the mother or father who actually bought it. It is not so much the apple that the parents are enjoying, but it is the offering of love that they are enjoying. There's one, share with you, there's one verse from the in Skanda Purana I came across. From the Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita. That prema hoite Krishna hoi nija bhakti vas, prema hoite paya Krishna seva sukaras. The Supreme Lord, who is greater than the greatest, becomes submissive to even a very insignificant devotee because of his devotional service. It is a beautiful and exalted nature of devotional service that the infinite Lord becomes submissive to the infinitesimal living entity because of it. In reciprocal devotional activities with the Lord, the devotee actually enjoys the transcendental mellow quality of devotional service. So Krishna is infallible. We are fallible. When I was in the BBT, the only Maharaj used to tell me, and he used to tell the BBT devotees, there are two kinds of infallible living beings. They say Krishna, pure devotees, and proofreader. The proofreader is supposed to be infallible. He's not allowed to make any mistakes. When he goes through the book and check if there are any mistakes, spelling mistake or grammar, whatever, he's supposed to find it. He is a bona fide fault finder. If you like to be a fault finder, then you should work as a proofreader. And check. Making no mistakes. I mean, until now, it's been so many years ago since I've been managing a VVT. When I read a book and there's some spelling mistake in it, there's some error in it, it just pop out in my eyes and I just get irritated when I read anything. And that's stuck in my head. So that's the element for you. But Yoga Krishna is the supreme. He's finite, and we are infinitesimal. Normally, someone who is very finite has nothing to do with someone infinitesimal. It's just like some people are very, very rich, very, very powerful. They don't have anything to do with some insignificant person. Or powerful or anything. Right? It's the same thing. If someone is older, especially when they are like young, up to 20s, early 20s, even a 1 year difference is a big difference. They normally don't hang out together. It's a small kid. Now you are 6 months younger, you're a small kid. You can find someone that you should play with. Right? There's a difference there. But how does the infinitesimal living entity, so tiny, 1/10,000, the tip of a hair, going to relate with the finite, the supreme personality of God? So in Amadi Leela is described through the process of devotional service. By applying the science of devotional service on how to utilize all these elements that are supplied to us, all these ingredients that are already supplied to us, and turn it into something wonderful as an offering to that Supreme Person of God. And in this way, developing a very, very close and loving relationship with Him. Isn't that amazing? This is amazing nature of Krishna consciousness. This is an amazing opportunity that is given to all living entities. That although we may be infinitesimal, although we may not have anything, but by understanding this principle, that Krishna is actually the supreme controller, supreme enjoyer, and yes, provided us with all these elements, let me somehow use it. Use it in his service. Every shape, every moment of our life, or at least every day of our life, we should show our appreciation. So wake up in the morning, first thing, say, thank you, Krishna, thank you, I'm alive. So we manage to wake up. Like some people, they're dying to sleep. Thank you, Krishna, for another great day of service. Or you can say, thank you, Krishna, what have you in store for me? What surprises do you have for me today? What opportunity are you providing me to let me come closer to you? So when we actually train our mind, our consciousness, to think in this way, every day is an excitement. Every day is an adventure. In fact, it is. Krishna consciousness is the greatest adventure. And this Kumar Prabhu, he wrote this book, The Transcendental Adventure, is it? His book. Now it is an adventure. Sometimes so many unexpected things come when we engage in Krishna service, so many unexpected things come. And we have to deal with it. And if we are in the right consciousness, if we see everything just as an opportunity to serve. Every moment, every obstacle is an opportunity to grow. Why is it sometimes we face the difficulty in Krishna consciousness? It's so that we can grow. It's just like when someone goes to the gym, he does this resistance. Every person, trainer will tell you, you want to grow your muscles, you have to do resistant work. But if you think, oh, this is too hard, you take on the smallest weight. You're not going to grow your muscles. But you see all these guys, all these gorillas in the gym, all these big gorillas, they do heavy weight. You know, they do this. And then they build their big muscles. So resistance has to be there to grow. So sometimes obstacles you face in devotional service, problems you face in devotional service, it's just opportunity for us to grow. That was the sincere devotee embraces it. Ye ye ravinda shav vimokta malinas, prayasra bhave avisudh buddhaya, aruya krishna parampanam tata, patantya no nabita yusmanraya. That for a sincere devotee, whatever obstacles he may face in devotional service, he embraces it. And say, I think this is due to my past karma, suffering by that. And he continues to worship Krishna with faith. Now such person has qualified with a ticket on the boat back home back to God. He becomes a candidate for liberation. So it's actually Prabhupada often say Krishna consciousness is very simple for the simple minded, but very complicated for the complicated minded. A lot of it has to do with our perspective on things. One person sees something in this way, another person sees. Just like they gave the example in sales talk, when the sales training, very often they give this example of a company, a shoe company, they send someone to somewhere from Papua New Guinea and all this. And this salesperson came back and said, to make a request, said, it's not possible to sell any shoes here because nobody wears shoes. They all walk barefoot. And then they sent another salesperson there. And this salesperson came back with a report, very excited, and said, wow, it's a great opportunity here because nobody has shoes. So it's a great opportunity to sell here. It's not a matter of perspective, it's more a matter of attitude. And that attitude coming from our consciousness, our values, our consciousness. So actually for sincere devotee, every instance, every obstacle or every situation, so-called good or bad, is all seen in perspective of Krishna consciousness. And it's all seen as in perspective of it's an opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity to make for the advancement. If we start thinking, oh, this situation, who created this situation? He created this situation, he created this situation, da 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 da. What happened? We miss an opportunity to grow. So we have to take responsibility. Every blade of, not a blade of grass will move without the sanction of Krishna. It is not just a fanciful statement. It's not just because it sounds so poetic. Not a blade of grass will move without sanction of Krishna. But it is a fact. Krishna, Prabhupada actually said, he said, what are the five words that you have to know in order to be a very good preacher? To be a very strong and powerful preacher. Who knows? Five words.
Krishna is the supreme control.
Yes. If you know this, you accept this, then you will be a powerful preacher. Because then you'll be, whatever you say will be spoken with conviction. And what does it mean? Krishna is the supreme controller. It means he's the supreme controller. Not a blade of grass will move without his sanction. So whatever happens, especially in the life of the devotee, actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, in one book of Prabhupada said, the very moment we turn to Krishna and say, my dear Lord, from today on I'm yours, from that very moment Krishna takes charge of the life of that devotee. So whatever happens to a devotee, sometimes it's residue of karma, but still it is within the management of Krishna. Krishna managed that devotee. Whereas for a non-devotee, whatever you think is just due to his past karma. He is controlled by the law of karma, whatever happened to him. So that is the difference. So for a devotee, whatever happened, he just see as an opportunity. He just see opportunities everywhere. So one door closed, another door opens. So he never loses faith in Krishna, he just continue serving Krishna in different, so many different capacities. And then you find out more and more as the time goes by, as the years go by, you look back and see, from the time you started and to the time you are, maybe a big difference. So, you may end up in a situation where you never expected. But you just go with the flow. Go with the ride. It's a transcendental ride. Just get on board and go for the adventure. The Krishna conscious adventure. My person now, I've never imagined traveling all the way to Sweden to become a Hare Krishna. And spending so many years there, and then in and out of Malaysia, and then down the south. I mean, when I was in Auckland, I used to think, I mean, this is practically as far as you can go from Sweden. I mean, Sweden is like right up at the North Pole, and New Zealand is like way down south. It's like as far as you can go. Never imagine. And then ended up in Australia. And it's just been an amazing journey. So this is actually one very, very important aspect we have to learn in our spiritual life. That verse, that slogan, that embracing whatever it comes. Akimo Thaku, he also sings this song that whatever difficulty I may face in my devotional service, I have embraced it with the greatest joy. Sometimes very, very difficult to understand. Especially when you're in that situation, when we are talking and discussing in class, it's a very nice principle to adopt. But when you're in that situation, it is so difficult. But that is the test. That is a test of our Krishna consciousness. It is a test of our faith in Krishna. That Krishna is molding us, and Krishna is putting obstacles so that we have the opportunity to grow. So when we have this kind of perspective and attitude that this is an opportunity to grow, you can face any difficulties in life. Because you start to develop that mood, the Bhakti Mataku has, you see all these opportunities with great joy. It's not that you're looking out for it. My life is too small, let me create some difficulty. No, you know. It'll come, don't worry. I cannot guarantee you many things, but this is one thing I can guarantee each and every one of you. You will face difficulties. As much as the sun grows, come up and set, you will face difficulties, and not just one. You will face many series of difficulties throughout your spiritual life. Some small difficulty, some like a small wave, and some will be like a tsunami. And when the tsunami hits, you better be well situated to take that branch. When I met up with Derek Marsh again after 20 years, in Auckland, we had a long talk, long discussion, like kind of catching up a bit. And he was telling me, he was talking about the situation he went through, and I was talking about the situation I went through. And then he said, actually Prabhupada said that before you go back home back to Godhead, there will be one big test. So there may be many, many tests, some small, some medium size, some big. But there will always be a test. And that test is to test our faith, test our sincerity. And it's not just testing our sincerity, but it's also a test, like say, giving an opportunity to grow to that position where we are qualified to go back to God. It's not that just because we turn this and Krishna say, I'm all yours. And we are already. That's the first step. We should not take charge of us. They say, okay, you want to surrender? Okay, I'll take charge. And I'll provide you with all the means. So each little test that we face and embrace, we get stronger. And our perspective of Krishna consciousness expands. We expand our understanding. We expand our realization. We face it. The Bhagavatam becomes a living Bhagavatam. We're living the Bhagavatam in our daily life. It's not just a theory anymore. You know. You develop realization. And that's where Nishtha comes in. Adhashrada, Adhashrada, Sangabhajana. You start with faith, Shraddha. How you develop the Nishtha. That's how you develop Nishtha. By practicing Krishna consciousness, removing the anathas from our heart, applying what we have learned, and that's how realization comes. Realization basically means combination of knowledge and experience. The combination of knowledge and experience become realization. When you speak, you know what you're talking about. It's not just something academic. So, that's the first part about the second part of the third one. The time runs out. Thank you very much. Are there maybe one or two questions or some comments? Say again.
How do you know whether
Maya is the servant of Krishna? You know the word Maya, you break it down to words, it means Maaya, means my mercy. Yeah, Ma with a long A, actually if you break it down, it's actually Maaya, my mercy. So Maya is nothing but the servant of Krishna, that's it. It's not like it's not just because She's keeping everyone here this mature, doesn't mean she's like a demon. She has the thankless task. She's like a prison warden. Now he has the thankless task of keeping all these criminals in jail. She's more than happy to see a devotee finally break out of the clutches. Sometimes we put it in such a way, you know, when we try to become devotee, my, we think she'll let you go so easily. She'll try to keep hold of you in the place and all that. But actually, she's just serving Krishna, just working in tandem with Krishna. We want to make sure that when we go back to Krishna, we are actually fully surrendered. So make sure no unqualified entities go there and cause disturbances. Any other question? Yes.
There is only one way for us to achieve like Krishna and devotional service. Still we are not able to pick it up. It is so straightforward and simple. And Prabhupada is convincing us so much. So, what is why don't we take it? Why don't we take it fully?
Are we ever taking it seriously?
Yeah.
Because we are fools.
What is
conditioning?
What is the
No, it's like Krishna kind of basically, but straightforward. And it's the right thing to do. Why are we not taking this seriously? Why is there so much hesitation holding back on it? That's conditioning. Because we've been conditioned for so many lifetimes to think and act in a certain way. So even all this information may be coming in, it doesn't mean you just change so easily. So we have to recondition ourselves. Like Prabhupada said, habits. Habits is second nature to us. So we have developed all these bad habits of thinking of enjoying and controlling. So it's a matter of replacing those habits with good habits. So when you start acting more and more in the spirit of a servant of Krishna, gradually that will overwhelm. So if let's say about percentage is 90% Maya, 10% Krishna consciousness. So it's like swimming against the current. And you keep adding to it, this will decrease. And when you reach over 50%, then things become a bit easier. Yeah. So you have to have muscles. You have to build up muscles. So when you have the muscles, you can carry the load, whatever comes. You can get, when people have strong muscles, sometimes you wonder how these boxes, you know, they can take all this hit. In martial arts, isn't it? They train you. It's not so much also how much you hit, it's also how much you can take. The different shape, a winner from a loser. So a good martial arts instructor not only teaches you how to fight, but also they also train you to take, just like, for example, give you an example in a Thai boxing group. You know, they're trained from small, they use bamboos, they can hit, they beat. They start with small and then beat, and their whole body becomes like iron. I mean, you see this guy, this kick is not, there's no joke when it's a kick. An ordinary person would say, boom, finish, one kick, done, you know. But this guy, they can take hit after hit after hit. Because they are built up, they are strong. So you have to build up the muscles by the process of devotional service. Build up more. You get hit one time, doesn't matter, I have to keep building up, strengthening my Krishna consciousness more and more and more. That's our focus. How to strengthen my Krishna consciousness at every opportunity. That's
true. As you said, by Mahaprabhu's mercy, anything is possible. Example is miracle, Jagadaya Swami. So seeking was an inspiration moment.
Yeah. Yeah, everything is possible. He wants to walk his 10 days. It's possible.
Only by mercy.
Yeah. So we have to keep praying. We have to keep praying. We should not slack in our praying for his quick recovery. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.